Today on our Tech for Business podcast, Todd, our COO and CISO, and Anne, our quality assurance analyst, are here to talk about updates coming to the HIPAA cybersecurity rules. Todd, you could give us just a real quick overview of what we're talking about. What's coming?
Sure. So in case anybody doesn't know, HIPAA exists. It's existed for a really long time. I was going to try to use the exact date, but off the top of my head, I don't remember. I want to say it was like 2003 or something along those lines. If you look at the number of incidents that were going on, it was almost nothing by comparison on how much it's increased over the last 3 years. So probably not really a surprise. Changes over the last several months where HHS, which is Human Services, is getting to a point where they're trying to do some revisions to the HIPAA guidelines, and they are going to be significant. So right now they're in a draft mode. The draft is currently 400 pages long. So if you're curious if there's changes in there, the answer is yeah, a lot of changes. So just to kind of give a little additional context, really the way that HIPAA has been written, it was really taking into considerations that you've got the really massive healthcare organizations and you got a lot of small practices, especially those in rural communities. HIPAA was written in a manner that allowed organizations to decide subjectively, that's unaffordable for me, so I may not have to comply. It's a loophole that exists, and it probably has been a little bit abused over the last couple of years. And so this changes that are being proposed are really going to tighten that up. And so these changes will be significant. Kind of part two about this is there's some bipartisan bill that's in Congress currently that is also looking at how do we help fund some of these changes, as well as how do we ensure that there is a very strong background of audits on there too. We'll dig into more of this, but just to kind of go through the reason why I mentioned it's bipartisan is change is coming and it's going to be a big deal.
Yeah, I was going to make a joke about, oh my gosh, 400 pages. Who sits down and reads that? But we have Anne here today. So Anne, I'd love your first impressions. I know a lot of changes are coming. Are you excited? Are you concerned? What are kind of the first thoughts on your side of the table?
I am circling back to the use of the word abusing the loopholes, if you will. And I think a smaller entity might say they're leveraging with the outcome of abuse. It really is changing to make it more for the individual. And the requirements have not really changed. It's the enforcement, it's the tools, it's the requirements. In our list of elements that are really key in this update, the last in our list is audits. That really and say, sure, we lock your things down in our devices. What do the newest really enforced giving a network diagram to show our three devices and saying, oh, in this over here, you don't need to see it, is where we store stuff and things. That's, I think, where they leverage the naive nature of those auditing and said it's fine, where there are now more technical resources with a huge interest in the public and their information protection. With the ongoing uptick in cyber incidents, they're really coming back and saying, okay, show us. The network mapping is saying you have to know. You can't guess. You have to be able to demonstrate. You have to show. And there's prohibitions against going outside of that.
Real briefly, I wanted to circle back because I did make my comment sound really, really harsh. And I wanted to clarify. I don't think it's the majority of small town practitioners that are abusing it.
It
left it open for a lot of other organizations that should have the wherewithal to do so. I mean, really, the massive change went from loose interpretation on addressable items to now required. To Anne's point, there's a lot of really good pieces from my perspective. I mean, there is a bit of a love-hate between compliance and regulations. Personally, I mean, I've got the CISO title. I want to see the regulations in place. I personally have an intrinsic value in protecting organizations. And so when I see that in organizations, when you leave it open to interpretation, people are like, yeah, I'll get to it later, or it's kind of inconvenient, or it adds friction, which we recently did a podcast on passwordless, where we're talking about how to remove the friction. Yeah, there's friction, but still, some of that's a lot better than allowing your organization to have some sort of attack come against it, and God forbid, have some sort of leak of data and so forth. So I won't belabor too much. I know we've got a lot to cover still too, but I just wanted to kind of wrap that one thing, as I didn't intend to say people are purposely trying not to do stuff.
I think somebody might have access to it. Maybe they don't. It is enforcing that idea that has been in place, but saying, okay, now tell me and show me what those controls are. Let's talk about that. Let's look at your information protection. And again, I'm compliant, so I want to know these things, or it's not a not want to know, it's a need to know. But that way we can really show that information protection to the nth degree, to say, you aren't supposed to be accessing this. Could we talk? It's more than just a haphazard, or I did have in my own notes, ignorance is not bliss anymore.
Yeah, one thing I kind of wanted to add on here, in here too, is this is true of almost every regulation and compliance I've come across. When they write them for really big organizations that speak in a language that doesn't make a lot of sense to the rest of the world. It makes it very difficult to comply in a lot of cases, which ultimately led to it being open for interpretation. I can write this like you're a United Health group, but if you're the small town Bertha, Minnesota healthcare organization, you're going to have a hard time meeting what they're trying to do at United Health group. It's a totally different thing. And so one of the things Anne said is it bringing the kind of a no-nonsense approach to how you comply with it. Bringing the ability to translate that into how that is actionable is kind of, I've said this before in other podcasts too, but it's one of the areas that we try to strive in, saying we have the ability to translate that gobbledygook into something that's actually meaningful and actionable. And I do think it's a big deal. So while the things are out there, and that ultimately this is the reason for the podcast, is to help get rid of the nebulous nature of these types of things. As we're going down this path, hopefully we can clear some of that up for you.
How fast are these changes coming? It's about accountability, but in reality, how quickly does something like this actually move? When should I be concerned about it?
Yeah, so being in the government entity, you can assume that it will go not nearly as fast as some may fear. So this is a draft. There is some revision, mm-hmm. but they're all loose at the moment. So I wouldn't anticipate this taking place. One of the articles did say the change is coming in 25. And I couldn't find what that was based on specifically, because I did not see dates on it.
I just saw that it was published early January to say the proposed changes.
They're coming.
My feel is that while this is nothing, big government works fast or efficiently, some of these are written to make the enforcement more so than the requirements that already exist. Existed, mm-hmm. It wouldn't be out of pocket to say effective immediately. And sure. Because you are supposed to be doing a lot of this, this is just saying now you have to. It's not, and with auditing requirements, it's not the you should. You really need to go back to it and say, okay, what is the next on our list is the requirement for that risk analysis. Every organization should be doing that. And you do it in some parts and pieces through a number of different mechanisms, whether that's assessing your insurance policy or something like that. This really looks at the honed in responsibility to see where the risk to your PHI is. And an organization that's managing that should really know it already. It just because it's enforced now doesn't necessarily mean it shouldn't have occurred in the past. This is kind of you have to know, and it's effective immediate. So it's kind of the analogy with the loan is that it's coming due, and you mm-hmm. will either pay it completely, and that would be the be compliant. You're going to default. That's where you're getting fines for non-compliance. The collections would be a whole different Well, I think that would be more violations imposed, but in the recourse of this, you can have legal action against you as well. So there, I did see a parallel to there. Healthcare companies are going to wake up one morning and all of this stuff is expected. And yes, they should have it in place, but is there going to be any level of grace period to make sure, or, you know, you have 30 days to fix it before you start getting fined? That may be an answer that we don't have, but what do you sort of think may come?
Well, I think the answer is, yeah, you got it. Ian kind of highlighted this pretty early in the fact that this isn't new. Organizations should have been doing this anyway. And so just to kind of give you an idea, there are some dollars, and hopefully we'll get to that a little bit later. But
yeah,
you've been expected to do a lot of this anyway. But again, since it was so loosely interpreted, it wasn't something where you saw it come through. However, there are components of these changes, such as audits are required. Mm-hmm. That you can't just flip a switch and it's done. So you're going to have to find an audit firm. So audits, in case anybody's curious, typically means a third party has to come in and validate you're doing what you say. I don't think they're expecting you to go from 0 to 100, but the things that they're saying is, because this is so wide sweeping, they're expecting that the overall spend in the U.S. is going to be roughly around $9 billion to start this in action year one. And then they think it's going to be about $6 billion from years 2 to 5. So If you think about that, they're basically saying, we know you can't do that in a year, a day, a month, whatever. I kind of did that backwards. But anyways, you get my point. You will have the ability to mature your program over the course of, I'm anticipating, 5 years to be able to move the needle and keep showing where you're going. There are companies out there that are doing it today, right? You're following the NIST standards. You're encrypting your data at rest. You're encrypting your data in transit. You've got your multi-factor enabled. So if you go to the doctor, they almost always have these things in place. For a small practice, they're anticipating that organization is still going to spend somewhere around $100,000 getting fully compliant. So while it's going to take time and people are doing a lot of the right things, there's still, like I said, this is big. This is 400 pages. There's a lot in here. Anne said you should have been doing this all along, and I agree you should. But there is very clear guidance within it as well that says you need to do your backup and recovery processes. You need to have an incident response plan. You got to do your encryption. You got to have your patch management. And it's, we talk about all the time, it's pretty typical across all security standards, but it needs to now be audited. The answer is yes, I think there will be a little bit of a grace period, but I don't think it will be all that long.
Couldn't agree more. If you look at any sort of, even HHS has a loosely, it's an outline on what your HIPAA security manual, which is the implementation of the rule, to say what you need to include, it already includes all of this, and it wouldn't be a hard press to say what there are implications of saying, where is your PHI? Ooh, we're not really sure. Or have you actually moved to a EMR, medical records, electronic medical records app? How are you managing that? That should be documented somewhere, and that everybody has a fault of that. The documentation is always behind, and we're supposed to be doing this. Who's checking our work?
He talks a little bit about kind of the financial burden potentially that's coming. I mean, is there a concern for smaller organizations? Do you think they'll be able to really keep up with these expectations? And what does this look like for small and even medium-sized healthcare organizations?
I think the answer is yes, there is going to be a bit of a burden. A lot of smaller healthcare providers run rather razor thin. So if you don't have it on the budget, it's time to start getting one together. And like I said, there will not be an expectation you go from 0 to 100 in a year. So you will have some time to do it. And there are things that you can physically do that start to get you moving in the right direction at a relatively inexpensive pace. For example, writing a policy is not complicated. It can be, but you can do it. You can find templates. You can get help writing a template. You can use AI to at least get you going. So you can get started on some of those things, and then you can start to implement some of your security controls. And user training. I mean, there's certain things that we talk about all our companies start. So start with your policies or procedures. The next step for us would be an assessment. There are guides that can help you walk through them. So you're at really low cost, low effort things to start. Policies can be a heavy effort, but if you start small, you can build on them. And then there's other things that you move into, like end user training doesn't have to be expensive. Multi-factor authentication doesn't need to be complicated or expensive. Updating your password policy doesn't need to be expensive. And now, I know I just said a lot of things, but the reality is you've only spent a little bit of money and probably a decent amount of time, but you've moved the needle significantly. So yes, I think there are things you can do. One other thing that I kind of highlighted at the beginning is there is a bill in process. Congress being Congress, I couldn't tell you how far that's going, but since it has bipartisan support, I think they'll be a little less frustrating, if you will, as it's trying to go through the process. In that bill potentially has some funding. I don't want to give false hope and saying, just wait, there'll be a ton of money waiting for you. But it is currently in the works that we would like to find ways to help fund the process to get this up. If you look at it from this perspective, healthcare is part of the infrastructure of the United States. The government is trying to support the critical infrastructure. How that ends up looking, I don't honestly know. It's still too early from my perspective, but it is expected that no matter what your size is, you will need to come compliant. And there are ways to move that without being a huge financial burden early.
So, I mean, you kind of answered some of the important things to focus on, and maybe just starting with that assessment is going to be the most important. Where are you in this journey? If someone has been leveraging those loopholes in the past, what do you recommend they should be starting with? You know, MFA is always our number one. So other than that, we have an MFA in everything.
Yeah. So we at CIT, there's a handful of non-negotiables. I guess I'm going to back up real briefly, and this will sound like a shameless plug, but I strongly believe in it. If you need to jumpstart it, there are professionals out there that can help work through the minutia of it and get you on the right path. At CIT, we have a plan. We don't expect to just jam a whole bunch of things in. There is a maturity process that we work through. Are the things you need to do in a self-assessment. You can't do anything unless you know where you're at, right? You can't fix it if you don't know what's wrong. That being said, there are low-hanging fruit that you can pick up off the ground. You don't even have to pick it. You can just lift it up and put it in the basket. Those things are implementing endpoint detection and response. If you're still running antivirus, it's time to move on. End-user training, there is free training out there, but there's also tools out there that are relatively inexpensive. We use Know Before, again, very affordable from my point of view of what it looks like, because the end user is where we have the vast majority of issues starting. The other piece I would throw in there is multi-factor. So those are the top three for me, is endpoint detection response, MFA, and end user training. If I had a fourth one I would throw in there, it's starting to find ways to encrypt it. So Microsoft has the ability to encrypt your hard drive, so servers, laptops, desktops, etc. You can encrypt the data at rest. Easy, low cost things to do, and it is a requirement. Those will be the places where big wins, low effort, big impact.
So, Anne, Todd gave us kind of the easy wins. What do you think blind spots may be when it comes to making sure that you're ready for these changes?
I think one of the biggest hurdles, period, is even if you are going through the effort of documenting and outlining what either is or needs to be as far as security controls, the implementation of those and the verification and auditing are the steepest hurdles. You can write an awesome policy, but if that doesn't get promulgated or implemented appropriately and audited as such, that's the heaviest lift. If it's a single person writing a outstanding policy, it's not really doing much. And that really, as soon as that goes into implementation, then right where Todd has said, the education, this, we want to be educated on our policy. We want to, or on the requirements, the MFA, the encryption, all of that, educating on that piece and the implementation is saying we are required to do this. Now the whole organization knows that we have to have MFA on our systems. It's not a suggestion, but without that, them knowing in that piece that it, yeah, That I always think is the biggest hurdle, because one person writing a fantastic policy is not worth anything unless you have the support through educated staff and employees.
I don't think you can understate how important it is one person can't own and run the program. Security is an institutional problem that needs to be addressed. So as Anne's talking about it, even if that person, okay, has written the policy, it's great, and they're trying to work through a lot of other things like education, they can't do it alone. They just so get an organization to get fully on board with just one person. It just doesn't work. Unless that organization's one person, then it probably does. But aside from that, it does take a village in this scenario. One of the other areas that I would throw in that potentially gets a little overlooked is physical security. If you're in a larger metropolis, most of the healthcare organizations you go to typically have really good security, and right? So you've got cameras on buildings, locks on doors, lots of MFA. You go in to sit with the practitioner and he MFAs to get into his computer and he MFAs to close it. But if you're in a smaller location, you're slightly suburbs or you get further out, you'll find that the security goes down pretty quick. But that doesn't mean the requirement went away. You just haven't considered it in the same context of, should I be doing it? And the answer, according to HIPAA, is yes, you should. Lock up the data, physical files, and all those types of things. A lot of the security, as you see going further out of cities from the big organizations, a lot of times those aren't taken care of. So I only bring it up because I do think it's one of those things that's easily overlooked, and it is still a requirement.
Yeah, I think it's important to sort of re-highlight what you said, Todd, about you feel the threat is not there, like physical security. That doesn't mean the requirement's not there. It doesn't mean it won't be a threat in the future, too. So it's important to get ahead of all of those things. We are 100% coming back to this, sort of see how it evolves in a few months and see what kind of changes are coming. But is there anything that we did not cover you really want to highlight?
It's a lot. There's a ton here. And because that's true, again, this is how I make my living, is education and helping people, organizations through this. If you need help, there's help out there. I'd love it if a CIT and we can help you out. But if it's not, you don't feel we've got the reach or we're not appropriate for you, there's still a ton of help out there. Find people that help you through this if you need it. It can really get you going really, really quickly versus I'm just going to muddle through and figure this out on my own. It is an option, and I'm not saying that there aren't incredibly brilliant people out there that work through small organizations that haven't started yet. But sometimes having people that have been through it 100 times can really jumpstart things for you. So I'd at least have it in the back of your head that if you need it, helps out there.
Is this new strict enforcement in this industry going to spread to other industries? Do you think there will be stronger enforcement in government or finance or education? How do you see this potentially spreading to other industries or not?
I think this is behind the curve. I think that some have really made enforcements already. Any article that I've found reading about the new implemented rules has some sort of mention that HIPAA has not historically had teeth. And so even on the implementation of these controls, it's not as easily enforceable. It's not as easily where a lot of organizations, whether it's DOD, finance, anything, are really looking to that to say, nope, it's required. So I personally think they're right on, or maybe even a little behind, it's of the curve of implementation of more security controls across the board.
It wouldn't be a podcast if I didn't say it depends. So I got to throw it in there. I think Anne's 100% correct.
I'm going to have a little counter for this whole year. How many times it depends.
I think Anne's 100% correct. And healthcare has been a bit behind. And it's kind of weird because it's not like HIPAA hasn't existed. It's just the increased awareness around it is what's really changing. That being said, I think you can already see the world has been working on it. CMMC is out there, which is working with the federal government, and that's actually on unclassified data. But the point is there is regulation coming to a lot of people out there that largely impacts the manufacturing industry, but you're starting to see it, but it's still kind of in its infancy. Is almost all of these regulations, whether it's HIPAA in healthcare, if it's finance, if it's CMMC, if it's the credit card industry, what you're starting to see is all of them start to say that you need to be aware of your supply chain. And really, if you look at what that means every company out there that supplies almost anything ends up falling under some sort of compliance. So in my opinion, in the United States, it's just a matter of time before you're under some level of compliance. And they're basically what most of the policies that they're asking to for the regulators are asking specifically is that whoever you're working with has to have a security program at least as good as your own. And that means everybody needs to be compliant. So to answer your question directly, yes, I think this is going to impact everybody.
Thank you so much, Todd and Anne, for joining us. I am sure we will come back to this in the future. So stay tuned, subscribe, like, follow us so that you can keep updated.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this topic, please let us know. Like, subscribe, or reach out to us at info@cit-net.com or head out to our website, cit-net.com/podcast. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode.